I'm going to be honest with you, the subject matter is is difficult for me personally. You know, as a preacher, you have to be angry at things. I'm angry when I look at where our country is going. It bothers me. It really does. The Lord uses that. But the key with anger is not letting it eat you up. My family could testify of episodes. I'm just being real with you and honest with you. Perhaps you're not used to preachers doing that. I think preachers need to be like that, really, truly. So this topic is something that's a help for me. I know of a great preacher in the United States, just world-renowned, and he got up before the church, and he says, just pray for me. I get these fits, and I don't know why. And he says, I love the Lord so much. Any real people like that here? We stand redeemed, but there's just those moments where the flesh really comes through, doesn't it? You know, some might have a critical spirit. You can rejoice today. I'm not preaching on that, okay? We're hitting on the topic of anger. Jonah chapter 3, and while you're turning there, Jonah chapter 4, while you're turning there, I found some quotes on anger. Bierce said this, speak when you are angry and you will make the best speech you will ever regret. I thought, wow. I like this quote. I don't need anger management. You just need to stop making me angry. Someone else said this, he who is able to anger you is able to control you. I'll give this marriage advice. Never go to bed angry, stay up and fight. It's funner, okay? Been there a time or two. I'm sure we all have. Jonah chapter 4, I want to draw your attention for a few moments. Jonah chapter 4, and we'll begin our reading in verse 4. The Bible says this, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? No response from Jonah, no verbal response. Verse 5 says, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, Jonah chapter 4, verse 5, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord God prepared a gourd that made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Mad at God, glad for the gourd. And if you've wrestled with a temper or anger from time to time, the foolish things in the world will make you upset, and the simplest things make you happy. It's such an expression that has a wide range of emotions tied to it. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm. When the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered, and it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said this to God, and he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Verse 10. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help now. Lord, I just pray in these brief moments, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, with the topic at hand. We want to be like you, Lord. Lord, you never sinned one time. You're incapable of it. And Lord, we know that we're saved to the uttermost. We know that heaven awaits us. But Lord, we have to deal with the nasty now and now, and there's areas we just need to grow in, and I pray that you'd help us, and I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. The cause of anger is incomplete submission to the Lord that resulted in a wrong mindset towards service. Concerning Jonah, he approached the Lord with a take what I offer you mentality, and that's the wrong approach to serving the Lord. He had the wrong approach to prayer. His mindset was, I'll only pray if I need to pray, if I need help. He had the wrong attitude of submission to the Lord. He did it because he had to, not because he wanted to. It wasn't with the heart, it was just out of a sense of duty. He had the wrong approach to souls because he was partial in his judgment. You might say he was prejudiced against other cultures and other people. And we see the consequences of anger. We talked about it. There were missed opportunities. He wasn't effective in his discipleship. He gave the message, but he didn't have any follow-up. He missed the opportunity to grow in his devotion toward God and toward people, and that's something that if we're going to follow the Lord, our love for people will increase. I've never met somebody passionately in love with Jesus Christ who hated people. You look at who the Lord dealt with and how compassionate he was to everybody, even the religious hypocrite, he loved them. He did. He missed the opportunity in his life to be directed by the Lord. He wandered without guidance, and we can be the same way. And he was lacking in his discernment, and discernment is the ability to judge well. And he missed those opportunities by allowing anger to control his life. And I want to focus on the next few moments on the cure for anger. Because Jonah's story ends without an answer, but I'm so excited that our story doesn't have to end that way. We can have victory over this. And I believe we need that, and especially in our homes we need it. We need it in our homes. We need it for our children's sake. And I say that, you know, as a dad, I understand that. I recognize that. Lord, please have more control over us. You see, we don't need control. And if you crave control, that's not healthy. We need to yield control to the Lord, and Jesus Christ lives through us. And that's the blessed life. The cure for anger is important because we often settle in our destructive habit patterns and feel that change is impossible. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, he always provides a cure. I've heard people say it like this: well, I'm just this way. You've got to understand that. No, that's settling. That's settling. We should always want to just grow. That's the Christian life. That gives glory and honor to the Lord. Well, I'm just this way and people have to deal with it. That's a wrong attitude. It's a wrong attitude. You know, we should all be approachable. I should be approachable. You should feel the liberty to approach me and say, hey, preacher, what about this area in your life? We're all here to grow. That's what the church is all about, all of us growing, helping one another. I feel privileged to be here because I'm growing. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to grow and to be real and vulnerable and say, hey, I'm growing in areas of my life. And that's a great thing. So what's this cure for anger, or how do we deal with this in our life? And looking at Jonah's life, there's just some things that kind of come to mind that I want to share and help with. The cure for anger starts with humility. It does. Because the problem is when we get angry, we are expressing the need for our selfish priorities to be in greater perspective than God's will. And that's hard. That's hard. We've got to humble ourselves and ask ourselves this question: who is sovereign and who is the servant? And it's hard. A lot of us come from backgrounds that are not easy. And, you know, you can have a chip on your shoulder, and maybe you've had that mentality because that's what it's taken for you to survive, but that's not the Christian life. That's not a Christian perspective. God doesn't need the chip. He just needs a yielded soul, and he'll do great things through that. We find here in the book of Jonah that everything in the book was subject to Almighty God except for Jonah. That's interesting. The wind obeyed God. The worm obeyed God. The whale obeyed God. The Ninevites obeyed God. Even their cows fasted. Okay? They wore sackcloth and ashes. The one thing missing was the one you would not expect. It was the prophet, the preacher. The one who didn't submit to God was the preacher, and it's convicting. I'm a preacher. Humility. They repented with an incomplete message delivered by a disobedient prophet with the wrong attitude. That's how great God is. That's how great God is. We got to humble ourselves. And it just takes that saying, God, I've got a problem here. And it may take saying that to the family. I've expressed that to my family many, many times. Forgive me. And you know what? If the case arises, church, forgive me. Can you imagine if that spirit was evident in all of our lives? And I'm not saying that to put anybody on a guilt trip. But that's where the cure lies, and it's in humility. And then we see a second thing here: honesty. Jonah should have just said, God, I hate those people. I know what they've done to my people. And Lord, I'm having a tough time with this. Can you give me some wisdom here? God's not afraid of questions, and I've said this many times. If you can't ask questions in a church, you're part of a cult. If everything depends upon the pastor, that's not healthy. Okay, it's not healthy. This is the local church. It's a spiritual organism. And it begins from the bottom up. Christ is the foundation, leadership. The people are elevated and magnified so that you can grow and be everything the Lord wants you to be. It's not top-down leadership. That's dictatorship without discipleship. And that leads to destruction in people's lives. It's not healthy at all. Honesty. We've got to admit our failings to the Lord. We have to stop justifying our unjustifiable actions. There's no justification in that. Nothing in it. Lord, help me with these attitudes that I have about people and about problems. Full disclosure, there's been many times I've been grieved as a pastor. You want people to serve the Lord, they don't. And it frustrates you. Man, you understand the feeling on a job site. You leave a full work day and it feels like you haven't done anything. You walk through the door, you slip on that toy, and you're like, ah, stupid toy. And the wife's like, you shouldn't say that S word. Then you have the choice as the big boy, the big dog, to just bite your tongue. But oftentimes it's like, I'll do what I want. Well, that's not a Christ-like attitude to have towards the children, honey. Yeah, I know that. Okay, I don't feel like being like the Lord. Like, I'm just being real. Am I all alone here, or is there real sinners here? Okay, thank you. Okay, this really happened. Yeah, thank you too. Okay, that adds some weight. Can I get a third one? This is not an auction. That adds even more weight. I don't want to be an angry preacher or an angry dad. But let's be real. It's hard. I think angry people are people that also love deeply. No doubt about it. I don't want us to be an angry church. I don't want us to be a judgmental church either. But I want us to be holy like the Lord is. And the Lord helps us to have that perfect balance, but we have to be honest. One pastor told me years ago, I said, oh man, I'm the worst dad in the world, worst husband. He says, children are so resilient. And let me tell you something, that's true. That is the absolute truth. Very forgiving, and that's great, and I'm grateful for those things. But we have to be honest. The cure also is this. We need the Holy Spirit. And church family, let me tell you what I'm seeing here. The Lord is just allowing the pressure to happen. Think about where we're at. Upgrading school and trying to raise our kids. Church is growing. Where's the room? People are having to work together. That's always fun, isn't it? I wanted everything done yesterday, and there's some people, well, you know, we'll just worry about it tomorrow. That doesn't fly with me ever. We adjusted this thing how many times, Pete? 15 times. First time, and this is what I said, I'm being honest, Mountaineer's going to come in. And I said, I don't like that idea. You said what? You said he wouldn't do that. Yeah, I know him. He's going to. I said, let's avoid that. You said, you're living in fear of something that could potentially happen. No, here's what I believe as a pastor. I believe if you honor the Lord, I believe if you prepare things for the Lord sees your heart, and he brings people you can help. I believe that with all my heart and soul. I believe it. I believe when we care, God sees we care. We care, and then he brings people we can care for. I really believe that with all my heart and soul. These lights. That's a 7-hour process, man. Say, are you crazy? I'm addicted to the ministry. I love it. I love it. It's the work of my life. Man, your job, you love it too. Some of you are gifted on so many levels, but I love it. It just has to be just so. He said, what happens if it's not? I come back here with the boys and make it just so. He said, are you healthy mentally? I think so. You see, Moses did it according to the pattern that was on the mount. We should have an excellent spirit, but we shouldn't be perfectionists. Okay. We have to be honest. We need the Holy Spirit. Because here's the deal. When we settle, We can become stagnant in our growth. We accept bad attitudes and bad actions. But if we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, we become sanctified and we allow the Spirit of Christ to handle us and to use us in a proper way. Romans chapter 5 talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Lord does that in us. The Holy Spirit of God in us loves people through us. Really, truly. Really, truly. He does that. He does that in us. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does. We cannot do that. We in our flesh can never love our enemy. In our flesh, we can never love the personalities that are the exact opposite of us. It's impossible. Peter and John never got along until the Lord got a hold of their lives. Then they went together to pray. Then they served the Lord together. Then they appreciated one another. Peter was terribly insecure of Paul until God got a hold of his life and gave him that vision of the unclean things, and he saw the doors opening to the Gentiles. It takes the Holy Spirit of God in our life. That's the cure. And the Lord will allow it. He'll allow things in our life just to continue. We'll strive, we'll fuss. I don't have a problem. We'll dig in deeper and we become more and more and more miserable until we submit to the Holy Spirit and we say, please help me. Please help me. Church family, my favorite words are, Lord, I can't. And I'm just learning that I no longer have to do everything. I don't have to know everything. I'm not the be-all and end-all. God made the local church, and there's so many intelligent people with so many gifts. Things just get spread around, and God is glorified that way. And I'm thankful for that. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And let me tell you something. It's a hard thing because we're used to being in control of our lives. We all are to a certain extent. We're used to being dysfunctional in areas. And when you've depended upon those things for so long, to introduce something new takes time. It really takes time. You want to have a diet. Well, we've got an 18-month program you just sign up for. And you're like, right on. How can I do it in 3 weeks? Right? That's not the Christian life. I wish it was. I wish we could just be zapped. I wish I could give Pete some kind of scepter. Who needs to be zapped today? Bonk, bonk, bonk. Let's get back together in 3 months and have church again. Doesn't work that way. It's just the process of the Lord working in and through us and helping us. What's the cure? Remember home. Remember home. You see, we sit here, but our citizenship is in heaven. We really are a heavenly people. We are. You think about that for just a second. We're just passing through. I don't care how nice your house is or how nice my house is, it doesn't compare to our heavenly home. We're citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors for Christ. So we must remember who we represent and what our mission is. We are supposed to be ambassadors for the Lord, and we're supposed to reach out to people. And so when we deal with anger, we just recognize where we're from. We are citizens of heaven. We represent the Lord. What a poor testimony Jonah was. And it's painful to say it because I've blown it in my life. But we just stop for a second saying, I am a citizen of heaven. I am a co-owner of heaven. I have a mansion in heaven. Everything that is in heaven, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God has sent me here. God has placed me here, given me gifts here. Why do I want to go back into the flesh when I have so much with the Lord? We remember that. And it helps us to reset our mind. Who are we representing and where are we from? Our citizenship is in heaven. And lastly, I see this, and this is a help. It's been a help to me. We think of honor. We think of honor. Look at Jonah chapter 1. I want to show this because this is a help. The Smith family, thanks for being here today and just serving the Lord. I know you're not perfect people because my family's not perfect. But just serving the Lord, just being who you are. I love watching real people. Here's who we are, nothing flashy. dad's that way too. We've got missionary letter for his dad. And we're speaking at a national conference, big time preachers. And I mean, there's guys that just have egos, and I hate to say it, but that's how it is sometimes. And your dad just said, I'm just a simple man that's just privileged to serve the Lord, and I travel with my wife, and we just make Bibles. Those are the real blessings, aren't they? But the preacher with an ego, we know how to handle those kind of people here in Cold Lake, I think. It's not always spiritual, but a visit here would probably hit the reset button for some. But remember the word honor. Look at what the word of God says here. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Who spoke to him? God did. What a privilege. You think about how great God is, how intelligent he is, how holy he is, and yet he takes the time to speak to you and me. Never forget that. Never forget that. So Jonah went off and did his own thing. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. This guy must have been a yellow-knee, Jonah yellow-knee. Like, I'm getting the message, God, okay? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. What a patient God, right? Jonah, I have a job for you. The second time. Chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled, because I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. That's the God that we serve. What did Moses do with the rock? Help me here, and we're done. What was he supposed to do? Why did he hit the rock? What did it cost him? Yeah. Honor. He said, man, I just clean around the church. No, you don't. No. You serve Jesus Christ. That's my default. When I'm struggling in areas of my life, you know what I do is I just come and I do some stuff around the building. Just remember, I'm a servant. And what a privilege to serve him. He said, I'm just a mom raising kids. Oh, no. You're raising the next generation. You're raising the next generation. I just personally believe that here. We've been given a lot here. We've inherited a lot here. We're just making it better for the next generation. I think the best pastor of Lakeside is coming. He's just growing right now. I really believe that. The Lord taught me that. Here's what the Lord taught me. Here's how powerful life is. I said this to Daniel one time in Bible college. You're young and God blesses. And every young preacher thinks, wow, I'll pastor the church of 5,000 people and have buses. And God will do great stuff. This is it right here. That's what I am. I just want to open doors for you. That just freed me so much. Oh, the great one? Oh, no. After you? I'm just here to open the door for you. That's the reality of it. And praise the Lord for that. What an honor to serve the Lord. There's no room for anger. Oh, be angry and sin not. Lord, help me with it. Lord, let it motivate me for you. Motivate me to pray. Motivate me to love people, to get the gospel out, to be kind to my brothers and sisters in Christ. But to tear down, no. We don't want that. We don't need that. And so let's ask the Lord to help us with that. Let's all stand, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed.